Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another awesome episode of the Life Nurse Show podcast. On the Life Nurse Show, we're all about helping people live amazing lives and having businesses that support those lives rather than destroy those lives. My name is Jason Wojo. I'm joined by Polish Peter, my co-host. What's up, bro?
Hey, man. So what we're going to be talking about today is hopefully, like, I like your shirt, by the way, which you're wearing. It's like Words of Wisdom.
Yoda.
That's
shirt.
A Yoda on there?
Yeah.
You're wearing a shirt of Yoda.
Yeah, oh, dude, I'm a Yoda of sorts. At least today I am, because dude, today we are talking about the top 10 mindset tips for business success. Dude, it all starts with your mind. And we got to make sure that's right before you'll do anything. And so we're going to talk five about it in this section. And then the next episode next week, we'll do the other five. We want to give these adequate attention and not rush through them. And so we're going to give each one of these the attention they deserve so that you don't have a mindset issue holding you back from business success.
Yeah, man. So let's jump right in. Like the first one I would say, and I think this is a really, really powerful one. And I think that makes a tremendous difference in people's success when it comes to business is owning the responsibility. I mean, and having this responsibility, the ownership of everything that's going on in your business, in your life, whether it's, especially if you're owner of the company, your CEO, owning the mistakes, owning the successes, and all those kinds of things, especially the mistakes, especially the things that, you know, are not working so well or not working well as you like them to. Because at the end of the day, it comes back to, you know, going all the way to the top. So extreme ownership. I don't know if you've heard the book, but he talks about that a lot, the Extreme Ownership book. And I think this is a really, really powerful principle that we all should live by when it comes to our own businesses.
So I've had a lot of thought about this, man. You know, as you know, like I run Life and Air, and
so you think you do,
yeah, right. But at the end of the day, like Extreme Ownership, you mentioned the book by Jocko is one of my favorite business books because it really exemplifies this perspective that everything is your fault. And the interesting thing with this perspective, though, is I would also suggest the opposite is true when things go well, and that is that you are not the person responsible for the wins, and your team is that. And so It's kind of this dichotomy that I recommend business owners really, really consider taking, which is, you know, when there's an issue, when there's a problem, when there's a mistake, even if your team member, you know, quote unquote, screws it up, even if they're the ones who drop the ball, even if they're the ones who, you know, cause the issue, look at it from your perspective. Like, you know, and this is something we do within Life and Air, which is my main business, where every single time something goes wrong, maybe it's an employee who messes something up, I'm like, okay, so there's never a place of judgment. And practically speaking, you can't lay into somebody. Like, even if they've made a mistake more than once, as soon as you lay into somebody, that's not going to have the effect you want, even though you might be super frustrated, you might be angry, you might be, you know, short. Resist that urge and just literally go in there with a perspective of like trying to diagnose what happened. Like, imagine yourself as a crime scene investigator who's going to kind of figure out what, you know, it was the butler with the knife kind of thing, right? And when you have this approach of curiosity and say, hey, you know, this happened, like, help me understand what happened here. And they're like, maybe they didn't know how to do it, or maybe you didn't give them the right deadline. You weren't clear with your communication. Like, tie it back to something that you did or didn't do, because now you can improve this. Now it can go into the SOP, and maybe they're like, well, I followed the SOP, but maybe it wasn't in there, right? And so When you have this perspective of extreme ownership, it genuinely does empower you to make the necessary changes to make sure you don't make the same mistake again. Now, if you're making the same mistake again and again, that's a different issue. But like, this is still something that comes back to you. And when you have this approach, it allows you to really, really do a couple things. One is like troubleshoot the issues directly. Two is your team members start seeing you have this attitude, and many times they themselves will adopt the same exact perspective. So they start taking extreme ownership of their responsibilities. And sometimes this is how you get people to act like owners in the business. And so you model that for them. And then the last thing I want to say with this is like, it's really about, you know, when something goes well, like even if it was your idea, even if you did it, I always use the word we. Like, yeah, we did great. Like, always give the team credit versus you, because like let them have that credit, because you know you don't need to pad your own ego. Like, you're about results, you're about winning, and do you care, you know, about, you know, giving yourself a pat on the back, or would you rather win, right? Would you rather have other people celebrate the success or feel like pawns that you are, you know, moving around the chessboard? Like, clearly that's not the case. You want them to be part of the win. You want them to experience what that's like to be successful too. So give them that. Like, don't take that, even if you are a major contributor to that.
Yeah, I think so. Really good points. On the other side, I want that you guys consider is this: if you have employees in your company, by the way, you can't run the business by yourself. And I mean, not many businesses can be run by one person, right? So you need other people around. You need a team. So one thing that popped into my head, notice the movie, The Office, right? Or I actually, when I was working, I was an architect, and I was working for somebody else. I had my boss be, he was never taking any responsibility. What will happen? The employees were getting disgruntled because it's like, it's always my fault. And you know, he never takes responsibility. So guess what? How do you think company's gonna run? It's not gonna be very well. So looking from the employee perspective, if you, the owner, don't take the responsibility, guess what? Your team's not going to work. People in your business, the employees are not going to be as excited to come to work. They're not going to be, you know, coming to you with any kind of challenges. They're not going to be communicating very well. So if you take that first thing that we talk about here about owning everything, I think that approach is going to significantly transform your business, your team, and the successes of it. So let's go to the next one.
Yeah, totally. So next one is, I want you to reframe your timeline for success. And I want to encourage you to consider playing the long game versus the short game. And what this means is thinking in terms of, you know, decades while you are acting in, you know, daily patterns. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, you got to recognize, like, this is so cliche, but, you know, Rome was not built in a day. You are unlikely to create a sustainable business that is successful in 3 months. Like, it just takes time. Like, listen, Life and Air has been around since 2007. 2007, we're literally looking at almost 20 years we've been around. And, you know, every year we get better and we continue to improve. But many of the deadlines and the pressures and the stresses we place on ourselves have to do with this short timeline. Like, business is an infinite game, which means you don't just create an awesome business and then you're done. Like, you keep playing the game. It's like, you know, the goal of marriage isn't to get married, it's to stay married. So you want to stay in business for the long term. And so this is where, you know, number one, play the long game. Number two, make sure you have a business vision that actually makes your business something really exciting that you love, that you are excited to wake up and do every day. I had a discussion with my wife not too long ago. I don't ever want to retire. Like, I literally mean that. Like, I could probably peel off my plate maybe 10% of the things I do now that, you know, if I had 100%, you know, if I was, you know, quote unquote, at an age where I wanted to step back, I'd probably let go of. But everything else I would do, like, I would continue to do because I absolutely love it. So that helps you tremendously in playing the long game. And you got to recognize, like, you know, so much of the stress I mentioned these artificial deadlines that we put on ourselves. Listen, you will never catch up in business. Like, let me just tell you right now, there will always, always, always be things you can do, because as you get better as a business owner, as you improve and grow, your ideas become more and more qualified, and they're better, and you'll always have something to do. So push those out over timeline. Don't kill yourself to accomplish, my opinion. Don't kill yourself to accomplish these things in, you know, a day or an hour or a weekend. Like, give yourself the time to recognize, like, hey, you know, and now of course there's a caveat here. If you're about to be on the street starving, then yeah, you got to hustle. But like, you got to recognize, like, it's a long game you're trying to win. It's not the short game that is really what you're after.
Yeah, and I think what ends up happening is that our society basically keeps emphasizing that whole entire instant gratification, everything. So we keep going after the short game, where it's actually not really the case. So the long game is the thing. Here's the other big benefit of playing the long game is what ends up happening is you start to eliminate those squirrels in your life, those distractions. And I think most businesses suffer because of all the distractions that are going on in their businesses and all the squirrels. So if you plan it out, like you mentioned, having the business vision, going, playing the long game, and then on a daily basis, you walk alongside to reach that long game, you celebrate those wins, you keep going after it, you end up, you know, playing out, I think, actually much more efficiently than some other businesses. So,
well, dude, and like a couple other thoughts here, like you got to recognize success in business is so analogous to success in life or in health. It's these small successive wins that are stacked upon each other that really result in where you're going to be. Like, it's very, very infrequently the case where you're going to make a ton of money very quickly, unless you're in the exact right place at the right time. But even so, like, those opportunities usually vanish just as quickly as they appeared. So it's really about stacking the skills as well that you're learning throughout business that you now can move forward with, because you're not going to be the person who you need to be when you just start to create a multi-million dollar business, because you're learning the skills, you're developing the mindset, you're, like, you know, checking the boxes and kind of like evolving yourself into the kind of person who can run this kind of business. Which, by the way, like, this is why we've all heard this before, like, you know, if you could take all the wealth in the world and distribute it equally, and then all the rich people would have the money again in whatever, 8-10 years, whatever it is. And it's because of the person they've become. It's because what they know, their skills, their connections. And so what you're doing here is you're stacking these skills, you're stacking these connections, you're stacking all of these resources. And I don't just mean money. I mean like the ability to run a business, and that takes time. I love this little short phrase. It says, think decades, but act daily. Think decades, but act daily. That is a huge tip for success and developing the patience of recognizing this is how it works is a huge, huge step. So you can stop, like you said, you know, chasing every little squirrel that seems like, hey, the grass is greener over there, and you're jumping from business to business to business. And all know how that ends for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and then what ends up happening, you start building those habits that get you on the long game.
Yeah.
You know, just like in real life, you have habits in your businesses, so you start to build those up. All right, next one, the third one. I'm really excited about that particular one because this one is huge, I think, when it comes to being successful in business, and that is getting comfortable and being uncomfortable. That means getting out of your comfort zone, stepping out, being fearless, those kinds of things. Because I will tell you this, you will not be able to grow the business if you don't get comfortable being uncomfortable. That means you're going to constantly do something new. You're going to be stepping out. You're going to have challenges. You're going to, you know, have to take risks, calculated risk, but you're going to have to take risks. And the thing is, most people that I feel like when we were having coaching conversations, it is that, you know, thing that we most of the 90% of my coaching conversation when it comes to this particular topic in business is getting comfortable being uncomfortable, stepping out of the comfort zone. If you're just starting out, let's say being a real estate investor, guess what? Reaching out, cold calling, or whatever that needs to be, having those conversations, a lot of people are struggling with this. And guess what? You won't be able to grow that real estate business without having conversations. So you're going to have to do it. And that plays a huge role in all kinds of different areas of your business.
Well, man, you said something that I want to point out that I kind of see it slightly differently. As you said, you know, be fearless. I don't think you have to be fearless. I think you can be afraid, but you still have to do it anyway. You just can't let it hold you back. So you can move forward and still be scared, but you still got to move forward. And that's where people let fear be that roadblock. It's kind of like that border between what you want and where you are. And, you know, the truth is, like, the safe path is almost always the most dangerous. You know, I've mentioned this before. There's a movie called World War Z with, like, Brad Pitt, I think. And there's a scene where he's running through this apartment. And, of course, it's all about zombies chasing him. And there's a family that's like, no, we can't. He's like, you got to go. The zombies are coming. And they're like, no, we're going to stay here. We're going to lock the door. And he's like, no, you got to come. You got to come. And they don't come. And so he runs away, and then a couple seconds later, you hear like the family screaming, the zombies breaking down the door. Is like, you know, the safe place is never the safe place. Like, you know, back when I had a job, you know, I was doing contracting work for the government, and everybody thought federal employees were the safe. This is a safe job. You have to try to get fired from the government, and you're fine. And look what happened with all the DOGE stuff. Like, all these people, I literally today opened up an email from a woman who had been let go from her federal position, and she'd been wanting to start a business for a while now, but now she has to do it. And now it is more difficult, and there are things at stake. So don't wait until someone pulls that carpet out on you, because, you know, putting your trust, putting your future in somebody else's hand is the very thing you need to be afraid of. And so, like, you know, it's not about taking things. Your only ability to be successful is really within yourself, you know, kind of getting back to the extreme ownership stuff, right? And so really get comfortable being uncomfortable, get comfortable taking action without having all the answers, get comfortable taking calculated risks, recognizing that, you know what, like, this has an 80% chance of success, and that means 2 out of 10 times it's not going to work, but okay, the other 8 it is. And so, like, we kind of disproportionately are afraid of making a mistake and, like, let failure get in our way. But yeah, this is just a mindset that will keep you stuck and will keep you chasing your tail, like, and kind of like in the corner and not out there playing the game.
Yeah, and I will tell you this, those of you listening right now, you know, in your business, what's the one thing you should be doing right now that you're holding back on? Go do that one thing. Step into it. You know, I appreciate you, you know, I'm clarifying the fearless. Yeah, it's not about, there is no fear. I don't think that the place where there is no fear doesn't exist. You have to just being fearless to step through that fear, kind of a thing. So there is going to be fear. We got to step into it anyway. So the thing is, go do it. That one thing that's holding you back, that might be the access to get you to the next breakthrough in your business. So...
Hey, we'll get right back to our episode, but before we do, I want to tell you about our Business Builder Workshop. Peter, I love this event, man. Why do people need to go?
Yeah, because you are going to be designing your own business, right? If you haven't been successful in the business as well as you would like it to, this is the event to be, because we're going to be working through everything. It's like an MBA in 3 days for your own business.
That's right, man. We cover everything from systems, processes, automation, hiring, sales, marketing. It is like what Peter said. We've had a woman who went to business school. She said she learned more in 3 days with us than she did at 2 years of her business school. So if you would like to make a transformational change in your business as well, go to lifeinner.com right now, click on the Business Builder Workshop, register for event, and we will see you there. And dude, one more thing on that, like, practice, I would say practice getting uncomfortable. You know, you're gonna make fun of me for this, dude, but like, this is something that I have really tried to stretch myself on. So for instance, you know, I took a stand-up comedy class. Dude, you know, I am not funny.
I've been telling you this for years, like for the last, since I know you're not funny.
But listen, like, and so, dude, it was terrifying. I had to get on literally a stage at a comedy club. It is very different than just talking in front of a microphone in a video, let me tell you. But I did that. I took a hip hop dance class. I was the only guy in the class, and I was like 20 years older than everybody else in there. I was probably the creepy old guy. Like, but
so
I
by
did
the it. Way, for everybody listening, that did not improve his dance moves at all.
It didn't, but like, it made me comfortable being uncomfortable, yeah. Like, and looking
That's
bad. Like, we're so afraid to look bad. And right. We let this hold us back, and that's killed more dreams than anything else I know of. And so just like, get comfortable being uncomfortable, you know, go walk up the downside of the escalator at the mall and let people look at you, like, do those kinds of, not don't be foolish or dangerous, but like, find ways to like, just be you and not care what other people think. Cause like, I'll tell you, the whole being uncomfortable, like, there's the internal component of you, like, I'm afraid of failing. But most times I see it, it's more in terms of the external way that you're going to look, the way you appear to the world, that is more concerning for people.
Yeah. And think about it. The whole looking back is just an opinion, whether it's your opinion or somebody else's opinion. That's all. And we were hanging our head on that. So let go of it and keep moving forward. All right. Number four.
All right, we got more, man. Next, you have to focus, and you have to protect your focus and your ability to concentrate more than anything. You know, in today's age, more than ever, you all know this, there's distractions everywhere. Like, my phone's right next to me right now. I have notifications turned off, but if this thing was ringing and dinging and chiming and making noise, like, I'd be picking it up and looking at it. And then all of a sudden it pulls you out of what you're doing. It disrupts your flow. You know, you got to really learn to focus, not only in terms of like concentrated periods of time, but also like on the things that are most important. You know, this is where I think focus is perhaps the most scarce resource we have these days. Like, it's not information, certainly. It's not knowledge. It's not anything but focus. Like, and it's only upon that focus really that things get done. You know, so many people are just super inefficient and ineffective, not because they're not smart, not because they don't know what they need to do, but they're so distracted by everything else going on around them that they kind of just like, you know, at the end of the day, they're the ones who are like, hey, you know, I feel like I was working all day, but I don't know what I got done. Like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but a lot of unfocused, undisciplined behavior, man.
Yeah, so when we do these life in our events, we talk about on the podcast too. Vision is one of those tools that helps you get focused. We talk about calendar. Go look up some of these episodes. We talk about having a calendar that helps you stay focused. And then simplifying life. I think those are the three big things that will help you stay focused. And by the way, when you do get unfocused, which will happen because we live in this world that are so full of distractions all over the place, don't beat yourself up over it. Just get back into it, right? Refocus. Get back into the conversation and start working on it. Because I think I see this a lot of times with, you know, students or people in life when all of a sudden they lose their focus and they go off rails and then takes them, you know, days or they'll never have the ability to get back into it. But yeah. The thing is, and that period actually kills that movement a lot. So that focus is huge when it comes to growing.
I also think that focus is a muscle. So like I got a little kitchen timer here, and what you can do is like, you know, you got to like set a timer. So the two practical tips for this. One, set a timer that when you start working on something and see how long you can go before you get distracted. And so like literally like be honest with yourself. You're doing some work, you're focused on something that when you got to get up or you make a phone call or you get on social media, click stop on that timer and see how long you actually focused on that thing. It will be incredibly revealing for you. Like this is the same thing when I used to do diets for people. I'd have them track what they ate for a week. And it was always like a huge aha, you know, mind-blowing moment for people. I think you might be super surprised when you look at this timer and you're like, gosh, I got 8 minutes in. Like, and so your goal would be to increase that over time until you really, like, you no longer need the timer and you will finish something until it's complete, until you move on to the next thing. Like, because like, this is just, you know, we're just all over the place, man. It's just all over the place.
Good tip.
Yeah, it's really focusing on one single thing until it's done instead of having 10 half-built bridges and doing things that don't move the needle. All right, what do we got next? Number five.
That's the last one. So this is a big one too. And it's kind of a controversial thing too, I think, when it comes to business and life sometimes too, because it's a lot of it has to do with beliefs. And that is letting go of the emotions, detaching yourself from the emotions. Because I think what ends up happening, I think we get a lot. We as human beings are emotional human beings. And when it comes to business, we can be emotional in certain different things. So if somebody says something or does something, and the way we react, the way we respond, whether it's a circumstance in the business, whether it's some conversation, whether it's an employee or a business partner or whoever it might be that says something in some way that doesn't maybe, you know, go the right way or the way you expected it or whatever it may be, it's how you respond that really matters. And I think a lot of times what ends up happening, people get very emotional. People get, derailed because of that. And they end up not, you know, building their business in the way that they wanted to because of somebody might would say. And by the way, think about it this way, like social media, if you're marketing out there, you will have to detach yourself emotionally from all the comments that are going to be out there because people are going to be commenting left and right on some how bad you are, what you screwed up, and like you're this person or that person and all kinds of different things. And if you are not grown emotionally, it's going to get you out of the marketing aspect.
Oh, dude. Quickly. So funny story. You know that I've started putting out social media content and like, so I have this YouTube video I put out and I had 75% dislikes for the video. There's one particular video because I said, I think the reason they disliked it was that I said, you know, anybody can make the money they want if they work hard enough for long enough. You know, I probably should have given the caveat if they're working on the right things, but people did not like to hear that. And I had literally 75%. And by the way, like I actually, really, at first, I was like, I felt like, oh my gosh, like I felt super attacked and I felt negative. But then I'm like, you know what? This is awesome feedback for me, like to be more discerning in my, because maybe like I should have said, like, hey, assuming you're doing the right thing in your business. And it allowed me to review that, like, did I say the right things? And now, by the way, I want to make sure that I'm clear. I will never say something just because I think it'll be clickbait and someone will like
Clicks,
it. But like, it really allows you these opportunities to kind of examine your emotions and how susceptible you are to people's opinions of what you're doing. Because listen, if you're building an incredible business and you're living a great life, like this is a very common thing with Life and Air where people will discourage them outside of Life and Air because they're like, oh, that's impossible. You can't do that. You know, that's not realistic. And if you buy into that stuff, it could absolutely derail you. So instead, you got to just commit to the process. You got to commit to a proven process of like, hey, if I do the work, if I do things correctly, if I'm focused on the right things, if I'm focused, if I take extreme ownership, all the things we're teaching you, I will be successful. And this also has to do with like the emotions involved with like sometimes like, you know, how about this, man? Like people, you know, I don't want to go to the gym. Well, guess what? If you just go and you forget about your feelings and you just go, you'll get the results. Like even if you go to the gym and you feel like I don't deserve to lose weight, you'll still lose weight. Like, so commit to the process, take your emotions out of it, like do what you need to do. And just, you know, a couple tips for this. Like imagine yourself as a robot, right? Robots don't have emotions. You know, what would Robot Peter do? If you could program Robot Peter to do absolutely everything perfect and execute on everything on his vision, what would he do, regardless of whether or not he was feeling like it or not? And like you can use these little like perspective changes to like help yourself understand really the difference between what you're doing because you're not in the mood, right? Versus the things you know you should be doing. You mentioned this earlier, Peter. And so like I think removing that emotion, committing to the process, committing to being disciplined enough like that, you know, it's cold outside, I don't want to go run. Like, you know, whatever it is, like you really kind of just cast that aside as much as you're able to and just execute. I think that's a huge change.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I would want to know what the robot Peter would do. I mean, I think it's a scary thought in my own mind. So, anyway.
Possibly. All right, well, listen, let's review these. So, number one, we have own everything, extreme ownership. Number two, play the long game, reframe your time frame for success and what that looks like. Three, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Four, protect your focus with everything you have. And five is detach from emotion and commit to the process. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe, share it with someone who needs to hear this because, you know, together we can truly change the entrepreneurial world and the communities around us. And so this is how we reach people. We don't place ads on these podcasts. And so please consider sharing it with somebody who can make a difference for them. Next week, we're going to dive into the next five tips of this two-part series of the top mindset tips for business success. We'll see you next week, everyone. Take care.